AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where we blend the art of appraising with a touch of insight and a dash of humor. Whether you're a trainee, a seasoned professional, or just curious about the appraisal world, you've come to the right place. So grab your favorite brew, relax, and join us for some expert tips, real-world stories, and valuable advice to help grow your appraisal business. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Hey, welcome back, appraisers. Today, we're joined by Carol Henryson. She's a residential appraiser and founder of Zen Appraisals. She serves Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Carol has built her business by working with agents and tackling challenging appraisals that others may avoid. She also heads up a local meetup of appraisers in her market. They meet up for lunch or coffee monthly. In addition, she is growing her own Zen community for those like-minded appraisers who want help growing their business. So today we're going to dig into a little bit about her non-lender business, talk about her appraisal meetups, and a little bit about her Zen community as well. So welcome, Carol. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Dan. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So tell us about yourself and about Zen Appraisals, and then we'll get right into it.
Oh, my gosh. About myself. So let's see. Do you want to know about my appraisal business?
Whatever you want to talk about. Whatever comes to your mind that you want to talk about, we'll talk about.
Gosh, there's so much. So, well, I started appraising in 2004. I was a realtor first. I became a realtor in 9/11. That was my first day in real estate school. That was crazy. Wow. So, yeah. Yeah, I became a realtor because I was a bartender and I didn't want to do that forever. And I liked people and I thought that selling houses would be fun.
Could mix the drinking in there too, because realtors, it's really stressful. So drinking, realtors, got it.
Have a good time. Yeah. And but then I decided, like, on the second day of real estate school that I was going to be an appraiser. The teacher, I don't know what it was he said, but something flipped. And I was like, I think I'd like that better. That sounds like more up my alley. So I have like a background in, like, I used to work at a bank forever ago, and I'm like an accounting nerd. So I just thought I would like that better. And so fast forward till now, we have three appraisers. We have two assistants.
What kind are they, trainees or what type of appraisers?
No, actually, Bev is certified in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. She was my trainee, and now she's certified. And Amanda has been certified. She was certified when I met her. I actually met her through a Facebook group, and she happened to live 15 minutes from me. Oh, and cool. So she's been certified for like 15 years, and she was ready to give up appraising, you know, in the last couple of years. It's been like crazy. Right.
So she was doing a lot of lending stuff and it was just dead. And she was just looking to get out of it.
And she's just frustrated. Yeah. Like a lot of people are. So I was like, don't you dare give up your license. We were out for coffee one day, me, Bev, and Amanda. I was like, and she was talking about not renewing like this past renewal period. And I was like, don't you dare. You work so hard to get that license. Don't do that. You come work for us. Well, and she's like, I don't want to do appraisals. I'm like, we're going to find something for you to do as an appraiser. Like, you're too valuable to give that up. Like, I've had so many conversations with her over the last 5 years or whatever. I knew she knew her stuff. She's just like frustrated. So,
So when did you start the Zen Appraisals? When did that happen?
So that happened. My mentor, his name was Howard Lichtenstein. And so that was the name of the company, as like many appraisers will do, right?
It's horrendous. It's horrendous. No offense. No offense to him, but
no, that's what people do, right? They name it after themselves. So then he wanted to retire. I stayed with him after I got certified. Then he wanted to retire. He just transferred the business to me. No one changed.
Cool.
It's great. So now I own Howard Lichtenstein Appraisals and he works for me one day a week. This is the situation.
Yeah.
Right.
So what was transferred? Just like his phone number, his email, all that, like just the website, stuff like that.
Yeah. And at that point, we're like 100% lender work.
So it was tough. You can't do stuff in his name anyways.
Stuff was still coming over in his name. So, but it was like, it was me that was in charge of like all of the accounting and all, you know, all the business stuff, you know, paying the bills and all that stuff. And then the percentages switched of how much he was making and how much I was making, right?
Yeah.
So, and then COVID hit and I was bored. So I asked a marketing friend, like, it might have even been before, you know, I think it was before that. I asked a marketing friend about marketing to private work. It was definitely before COVID. But I wanted to hire him to make like, to help me figure out how to make brochures or stuff like that. Yeah. And he's like, well, the first thing you're going to do is change your name.
Yeah.
You're not Howard. And I was like,
couldn't agree more.
So honestly, I had known this guy long enough that he was the one who came up with the name of Zen Appraisals. He was like, people need to think of you when they hear the name of the business. It needs to be different. It can't be like everybody else. You can't just blend in with the crowd. And it needs to be like, you know, they hear that and they think of you, or they think hear you and they think of that name. And he's like, and I was like, well, what do you think of when you think of me? And he's like, I think of Zen Appraisals. And he's the one who came up with it. So I was just like, cool.
Yeah. Well, thank God we don't have the yellow pages anymore. You'd be all the way in the back.
I know. That's the, when I told Howard we were changing the name, he was like, you can't make it a Z. And I was like,
yeah, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool name.
Yeah.
So you, what made you during COVID, what made you switch to focus on non-lender stuff? Because I've been seeing your videos on LinkedIn and stuff, like you're just heavily targeting like agents. For that type of business. So why did you start doing that? What led to that?
What led to that was the fact that Pennsylvania was the only state in the country that shut down real estate professionals during COVID. We were not allowed to go inside houses.
How long did that last?
3 months. So
how did you handle that? That I would be so frustrated and I would just be furious.
I built a website. That's how I handled that. I was just like, it's out of my hands. I have no control over it. There's no point in putting my energy into something I have no control over. But what I do have control over is, well, the government isn't going to decide when I work and how I work. So to me, it was just like obvious, like I need to do private appraisals. Like I could do consulting. I could do so many things from my desk that a lender won't let me do. So I learned how to build a website because I had nothing else to do. So I bought courses, went down the YouTube rabbit hole, the whole shebang, learned marketing, all that stuff. So we're like 80% private appraisals today now. Yeah. So And that's like, okay, so it's been 5 years since that, right? During that 5 years, my mentor died. It was horrible, right? Like, found out he was sick, gone within 8 months.
Wow.
And I got cancer, and I was going through that.
Oh, wow.
So, like, this is what I say to people. Like, I had surgery, all this stuff, right? So when I hear people like, this is so hard, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, dude, if a high school graduate who didn't go to college, who had cancer, and was stuck at home for 3 months. Like, if I can do it, why can't you do it? Right. Like, I was a bartender before this.
You need a, I think Zen Appraisals is a perfect name. That's what you need. That's what you needed. Holy crap. That's a great name. But yeah, I agree. I hear a lot of appraisers like not willing to actually want to put in the work to market and network and stuff. It's tough hearing that. They just give up after, you know, one social media post and I didn't get any phone calls. You know, this is too, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So why do you, so obviously when you first started, you weren't getting a lot of non-lender business. How long did it take before your posts? Are you doing just social media stuff? Are you doing mailers? Are you doing email? What else are you doing? And how long did it take to gain traction?
I tried mailers. Nothing came of that. Social media, Google my business posts every single day. My phone rang for the first time 8 months later. 8 months. Every single day, Google my business. Social media posts. Because what happens is when you're first doing it, you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
So you have to figure it out. So you have to make mistakes, right? And figure it out. And like, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. And, you know, and then you get better at it. And now my phone rings nonstop. Like we got, I have to turn it off. Like that's why.
Great.
Yeah.
So potential leads coming in. It's mostly all from Google, you think, in that presence there too?
Yeah, well, now at this point, it's Google and referrals from realtors. A lot of referrals from, oh, like this realtor who works in this office, someone told them who told them who told them. So like eventually your name gets into an office and someone calls you and they don't even remember where they heard your name from. Like,
right.
So that's kind of, that's where it comes from now, which is pretty cool.
So you originally said you tackled challenging assignments. Is that how you got your name for yourself, or how does that help your business grow, as you being able to take on difficult assignments?
So that goes back to like, I had a bicycle accident in 2018 and we were 100% lender work. And I couldn't work because I had no use of my right arm. I'm right-handed.
Holy crap. Hold on. So you got the accident in 2018. You got the COVID shutdown. You got the cancer. You got your mentor dying. All right. We'll see what else develops. All right.
I think that's all the terrible things. But I couldn't work. And so when I finally was able to work again, you know, because we're all lender work at that time, they all moved on. They found other appraisers.
Yeah, they don't care about you. All they care about is just getting the lowest fee or just the next appraiser who can satisfy that lender job. That's it. Right. That's all they care about.
Zero loyalty. So I went into the Facebook groups and I was like, what does nobody want to do? And I will do it. I will learn how to do it. What does nobody want to do? And at that time, there's plenty of cookie cutter work, right? So people are like, oh, they want me to do this crazy house. It is this and that. I'm not doing that. And so I was like, cool. That's what I'll do. And so I took a whole bunch of classes. And this is where I fully believe in like the law of attraction and the energy.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time. And then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call. Because real protection means showing up. Even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
That you put out there is what will come back to you.
Totally agree.
Fully. So if you say, you know, this appraisal industry sucks, well, then it will suck for you.
I agree. But, when you put that into the universe, it's going to be fulfilled eventually.
Yeah, that's what you're focusing on. So I was like, I'm focusing on doing, you know, crazy, difficult assignments. So I took all these classes, I called appraisers, you know, you get friendly, you call people, you ask them questions. And then I was like, okay, now all I need is some crazy difficult assignment to come through. And three came that week.
Nice. So hold on, let back up. So you just started cold calling other appraisers.
Yeah. Like, no, they were like friends of Howard's. So at that time, he was still in the business. And I was just like, who do you know? And then I went to like CE classes and I would talk to other appraisers there. But I didn't really, my first real appraiser friend was not until COVID.
Wow.
Which is nuts.
And that was like 12, that was 11 years later since you got licensed, right?
Or yeah.
Years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because also I was like with a mentor who I loved and was amazing, but he had the mindset of like, you can't be friends with appraisers because they're going to take your business. Right. So you can't tell them what you're doing because, you know, it's like a poverty type of a mindset where I believe like there's plenty of work for everybody. You just have to go find it. That's all.
Right.
So,
yeah. And yeah, plus, so, I found you could say exactly what you're doing, how to do it all day long, and still nobody will listen or nobody will actually do it and be consistent anyways. So
yeah,
there's no competition out there because not many people are willing to do what it takes to get that business, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. Like people that have been, who got licensed after 2008, they don't know anything other than the work just comes to you from some magical AMC website.
Right. It's just some portal online that you get work from.
So it's like not their fault. That's just all they've ever been exposed to. Where like before that, I remember like Howard going, like calling different lenders, and we have relationships with loan officers and things like that. So I knew that like, it's funny, we would go to CE together and he would like just want to sit at the table and talk with me. And I would like want to talk with other appraisers and like ask them questions. And so that's what I would do. I would take like these classes that, and I would just talk to the other appraisers in there. And still then, like we would exchange phone numbers, but never hang out. Like,
right.
Like, yeah, well, talk to you soon. And then like, it doesn't happen. But that's just kind of how you learn. Like I remember talking to this one guy at a CE class where he literally, all he appraises is houses on little islands and he just flies to them all over the country.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I talked to him a lot. So you just talk to people. Yeah.
So backing up, you did, you said, you know, I want to take on challenging assignments. And all of a sudden you have three challenging assignments that week that just popped up. Mm-hmm. And then, how did it go from there? Were you just known? How are they challenging? One, how are they challenging?
High value, unusually built, like the type of assignments that I've done. Like, I remember the one of them was just like this. Really, like he flew all these things in from all over the world. Like this fireplace is from Germany.
Oh, okay. So really custom.
Yeah, like super custom, super high value. And that was like, I bet you if I look at that appraisal report now, it would probably cringe, right?
Yeah, we're all there.
Because I was like,
we've all have those.
I was. But it's like, how else do you learn? So I just did the best I could with what I knew. Right. And then you just keep getting better. You learn new things. And eventually I got on panels with lenders that they have, do you know that lenders have specific panels of appraisers that are not, they, even though they may use an AMC, they don't go through an AMC for certain types of loans. So they have a certain panel of appraisers that they'll go to ask them to do those. And I got on a couple of those panels and I got on them just like I was invited to be on them. Like I didn't find them. They found me,
because you're taking on those difficult jobs.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What would you say to those appraisers who are declining those difficult jobs? What advice do you have for them?
Well, first of all, we still get like, if I get a request from an AMC, it usually goes to spam because they're not going to pay. They don't want to pay the fee, right? And they're going to find someone. Like I live in an area where there's so many appraisers. Like it's a big metro area, right? It's a big city. There's a ton of appraisers and a lot of them they're hurting. So they'll take them and they'll do them for a lot less. So it depends on where you live. If you live in an area where there's not that many appraisers out there, like the sky's the limit. Learn how to do them and charge for them. They'll pay well.
Right.
So it depends on where you live, really. Like if I lived near the Jersey Shore, like I'm like an hour and a half from it. But if I lived closer to it, I would learn how to do shore houses all day long. Like I would learn Airbnb. I would learn all, like do what no one else wants to do.
Right. That's great. That's a good way to succeed. Do what nobody else wants to do.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you have a lot of appraisers in your area. So how did you start a local meetup? What led to that? And why did you start it?
Well, the very first time I met like another appraiser in the wild, like out, you know, like, hey, let's get together, was during COVID. Michael Coyle, I don't know if you know him. He's in the Facebook groups. He lives like 10 minutes from me. And I basically, while we were locked down for 3 months, I was on my on Facebook like a weirdo, private messaging random appraisers. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? You busy? like I needed a friend because my husband, because of the job that he did, he was working 24/7. So I was like stuck by myself in a house, and now I'm messaging random people like, hey, how you doing? How's your family? Are you busy? What's going on with work? Like a weirdo. And Michael replied to me, and him and I went and met each other at a restaurant. Like it was in the summer of 2020. And I was just like, he laughs. He makes fun of me now. He said, the first thing I said to him, and I don't remember doing it, but I have no doubt that I did. I was like, I'm just going to hug you anyway. Like, I'm a hugger. I don't care what they say. And like, we hugged each other because you're like desperate for people back then, right? And so him and I met, and then I somehow hooked up. I don't even remember talking with Bill Powell, who's also in the Facebook groups. He lives near me. Him and I went out to lunch once. And then I was like, how about the three of us go out? So then I invited the three of us. And then Bill one time brought another guy, Paul McManus. So then the four of us are going out to lunch. And then I was like, wouldn't it be cool if we could get like more people? So by that time, I had become friends with other people and had their contact information. And I was like, it's going to be like herding cats trying to get all these people to meet for lunch.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like, how about we just meet at this place at this time for coffee? Show up if you can. And that's how it started. And we have an ASA teacher who shows up whenever he can. So it's, we have great conversations when he's there.
And like what's the topic when you guys are there? What are you just talking shop or just whatever comes up?
Whatever comes up. There's no structure. It's like sometimes, you know, we're talking about like the new forms or, you know, or then another day we could be talking about how, you know, one of our teenagers did something crazy. And what did you do when your teenager did that? You know, like it's whatever comes up. Bev came to one and she was talking about how she's like mobile. She uses the iPad to inspect.
Yeah.
And a couple of the guys were like, show me how. So she was like showing them on her iPad, like, this is what I do. And next thing you know, someone's meeting her at a house last week and she's showing them how to measure a house. And people would say we're competitors, but we're not. We're just helping each other out. Like we all have plenty of work.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, and you continue this, is it once a month? What are you doing now?
Well, the first time we met was last November and I was like, do you guys want to do this again? And they're like, yeah. So we skipped like December, right? Holidays. Yeah. Then I sent out an email in January and we have been meeting every month since then. And it's always different people that show up. So.
And what's the turnout usually?
Somewhere between, we usually get around 8 people, sometimes 6. The one time there was only 2 of us and that was fine. We had a great conversation.
Right. You know?
So I figure worst case scenario, I'm sitting there by myself and I'm catching up on emails on my phone and then I go,
right. So a lot of value. So everybody, you think everybody's getting a lot of value just from the local meetups and learning something new, at least getting one takeaway from a meeting up once a month?
Getting one takeaway, getting referrals.
Oh, so you guys are passing referrals back and forth?
Yeah.
Excellent. Are there a lot of cert generals in your area that come or?
See, that's the crazy thing. Like I have like in my little pocket neighborhood, we might have 50 houses. There's 3 residential appraisers right in my pocket. Like there's so many residential appraisers. If you wanted to find a commercial appraiser in our area, you would be lucky if you can get them to come to your house within 3 months.
Like wow. They're
in the Philadelphia area. It's crazy. So we don't have any generals that come.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what if, and I know since then you created a Zen community for appraisers. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and what's going on with that and how that compares to the meetups? I know this one's on Zoom. You do for around the country, but how do those compare and why did you start that community? What led to that one?
Oh, so that one, they both started around the same time, but they're not connected in any way. So like the coffee meetups, it's just like show up if you want. It costs you a cup of coffee. You just go up and order your coffee, right?
Yeah.
The Zen community is a paid group. The reason I started that is because I regularly have people messaging me on social media asking me questions. And I'm happy to call and talk and help them, but I found I was spending more and more time like doing that. And I just don't have enough time to do everything. So right. I was like, I'm going to create a community where like this conversation that we're having right now could benefit more people.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
You know, so I started the community. There's a course in there, How I Built My Business in 10 Steps. And there's emails in there, like here, copy and paste these emails. These are the emails that you want to send to realtors. And then we meet for Zoom every week. And whoever shows up. Thank you for showing up.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. And we just talk about whatever's on our mind, whatever's struggles we're having. And there's always something.
It's just 1 hour, right? Once a week is 1 hour.
Once a week, 1 hour. And we're really, I'm really strict with it. Like, good. I'm like watching the clock, guys. What else do you got? Because it's really easy to get caught up in a conversation and go over that hour. But then think about it. Like if you know that you're going to like this meetup thing every week and that thing is turning into 2 hours or whatever, that's a lot. So 1 hour is doable for most people, you know? Right. Yeah.
And how do you compare the Zoom meeting up versus in-person meeting up? Is it the same takeaway? Is it?
It's different because like we have, I guess when you're meeting up locally, you have different challenges, right? Like according to your market.
Right.
So we'll talk about those things, you know, like whatever is specific to your market. A lot of times those things will come up where like you live in Florida, if you live near a beach or something, yeah. Like you guys might be talking about, like, I know Florida has a lot of stuff going on with condos, right? So
yes,
that would be beneficial for like local appraisers to meet up and stay up to date on. That would probably come up in your conversation, where that's not coming up in our conversation. We're talking more about like general overall stuff. And it's about like how to market your business too. We don't really talk about marketing our business in our local group.
Okay. It's more just appraiser related stuff. And then the Zoom group is, you know, how to grow your business, how to grow your business part.
Yeah.
And you said I visited once one of the meetings, but you bring in somebody every month, a different speaker or somebody just to mix it up. What's the format there?
Yeah, it's just to mix it up because we meet every week and you know, sometimes you can be like, all right, what are we going to talk about? Right. So it's nice to have someone else come in and also to get like another point of view. Even if we're talking about something we talked about before, they may have done it differently or solved that problem differently that could resonate with somebody else in a different way. So I think it's important to be open to like, there's more than one path to success.
Right? I agree.
So.
Yeah, and I find the topics just come like for me in doing a lot of writing and stuff. The topics are my business and they pop up every week. There's something different that pops up and it's just talking about that, but just having, you know, thinking about that and what you're going to talk about, this stuff just comes to you because like, oh crap, this is what I had to deal with this week. Can you believe what this client did? And the topics almost write themselves just based on your normal week.
They do. I mean, you could have a whole topic on, which we haven't done yet, on how to talk to people when they call you on the phone.
Yes, you should do that. That's a great topic. Yeah. Great
topic. There's your email for next week, Dan.
Oh my goodness. So that's a great discussion for a panel. What to talk about on the phone.
How you answer. Yeah.
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 I like that. That's a really good one because a lot of people are probably somebody calling from Google and they say, hey, how much do you charge for this house? The appraiser pulls up the house. Oh, yeah, that'll be $500.
That's it. That's it.
So just for those listening, that's probably not the right way to handle that conversation to get that job.
No, they're not an AMC calling for a fee and a turn time. That's not
exactly.
It's not it.
And the appraisers have that mindset too.
I'll tell you, one of the first things I ask them is, how did you find me? And if they say Google, I say, oh, cool. That's great. Did you have a chance to read our reviews? And now I know how much they've looked into who I am, right?
Right.
Because if they've read my reviews and they've looked at our website, I pretty much know that we're going to be working together because they've gotten to know who, like there's enough information out there for them to see who I am and they're interested in working with me. If someone is like, no, I found you on Google, but I'm just calling all these different people. And they Googled and here's the names that came up and they called the phone numbers. I have a lady say to me just a couple days ago, I'm just telling you right now, I'm not paying $700 for an appraisal. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know if we're going to be working together.
Yeah.
I think this is
like, I could charge you more than $700. Is that what you're looking for here?
Yeah. But it's like when someone is like very focused on like that kind of stuff, it's, you know, we're working with people.
They just want the cheapest and they don't care about, they just want the cheapest, crappiest quality or whatever. And
well, they just want the cheapest thing and they don't realize and they're not aware that not all appraisals are the same. Like, would you call a car dealership and say, like, I want to buy a car. How much is a car? Like,
right.
No, because you know that there's all different kinds of cars, right? But a lot of people don't know that there's all different kinds of appraisers. So, yeah.
Do you track your calls and how many you convert? And do you have any type of metrics you keep?
I don't.
That's a good idea to see how you convert people because you may think you're doing awesome, but you're only converting 10% of the people. So jumping back to the meetups, what advice do you have for people in different markets who want to start the same thing, start a meetup in their area? What advice do you have for them?
I would say, well, if they're on social media, they're probably in a local Facebook group, most likely.
Right.
Right. So what I would do is find one friend to meet for coffee and just say, hey, you want to meet me for coffee? And do you mind if I invite other people? Sure. So you know you have that one person that's going to show up.
Yeah.
And then you just put it out there. Hey, so-and-so and I are meeting up at this place in this time. We're just grabbing a cup of coffee. We'll be there an hour or so if you want to meet up. If you can fit it in, here's where we'll be. Here's the address. You don't have to let me know if you're going to be there or not. Just show up.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, it's just the two of you. And then you post a picture.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And you say, here's what we talked about. Here's what we learned. And then people reach out. They'll private message you, or they even say things right on social media. Hey, I'd love to meet with you. Sure, you can meet with us. And then they get invited, and then they come.
That's great. How,
yeah.
So it eliminates the fear if you just invite one person. Mm-hmm. So you have nothing to be fearful of, that you're going to be sitting there alone waiting.
Yeah.
I think it's a really positive thing for appraisers to get together, because I know a lot of us are who don't belong to associations, or even if you do, you don't have that many meetups unless you're going to CE or their monthly meeting or something. Like, yeah. It's good to talk outside of an association and just with people who are doing the same work you're doing, see how they're doing it differently, because it'll help you maybe make you more efficient or maybe teach you something new. So I love the idea, and I'm totally for whether it's Zoom meetings or in person, whatever the case may be. I don't think anything bad's going to happen when appraisers are connecting with each other.
Oh,
it's all positives.
It's all good. As long as you have people in there that don't want to, that have the same mindset as you, they're there for the same reason that you're there. And usually that's who's showing up. You're not going to have somebody showing up who's like Mr. Negative. That's not going to be there.
Exactly. Yeah. That type of person. That's tough with this, that negative mindset, especially where the profession is now. It's not going to get you far. It's not going to get you far. So speaking of that, what do you see the future look like? I know we have this new UAD coming out with lender-based work. What do you think the profession is going to look like?
Oh gosh, so my crystal ball says I think that. Well, I did run the numbers for Pennsylvania, and I was thinking maybe I did something wrong, but maybe I didn't. The end of June is when we renewed our licenses.
Okay.
So I looked at the active number of certified appraisers in Pennsylvania a week before license renewal date, and it was 3,300. Then I looked at it in July, and it was 2,300. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, did I do the search wrong last month, or did that many people not renew yet? And maybe they're renewing
late. That would be like 30%, right?
So I haven't looked at it since, but that was pretty wild. So I think that a lot of appraisers who are doing lender work are probably going to retire unless they're willing to learn how to do 3.6 and go mobile.
How?
Then there's more.
You said 20% of your work is lending based. So what are you doing to learn 3.6? Have you already taken classes? You already seen the form, anything?
I've seen the form. I've looked at a few videos. I have no intention on learning it until I have to.
Because
like they've been changing their mind for 5 years. Why would it? Yeah.
So we'll see how long it takes for them to implement it. But it seems like none of the software providers seem to be ready for it yet. I can't believe they're already soft launching a lot of the stuff. Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind learning something new. I love learning new things. I'm bored if I'm not learning, but I'm not learning something that I can't use, and I can't use that yet. So,
right. Yeah. Until it's more streamlined, until more mainstream, then I think that's when I'll start to learn too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think at this point, they're like looking at like the end of next year now for like mandated, right? Isn't it
November
or something?
Maybe it's even 27. I don't know.
So I'm just like, and honestly, we only have a few lender clients, and they haven't told us yet when they're going to be using it. So.
Yeah. A lot of uncertainty.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
But that's okay. Yeah. Something different.
Yeah.
So where do you see your Zen community growing? What's your next step for that community?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was meant for people who, like, it was more geared towards newer appraisers who were just struggling and just looking to figure out how to market their business for private work. We ended up getting some, like, really, like, seasoned, awesome, you know, appraisers in there that have been in there forever. So it's, which is great because we have a great mix of people in there. But I do want to be able to bring something to the table for the people who've been there for a while, you know, like I want it to be like everybody's learning, not just like, oh, they're popping in and giving us some advice. So I'd like for them to benefit too. So that's why I created like the emails if they wanted to use them. I'm also creating a couple other things. Like I'm trying to create things. I'm treating it the same way I do my appraisal business. There are other places that you can go to learn how to build a private business. Right. There are other coaches. There are other sources.
Yeah.
So I look at like, and they're awesome. What do they not have? So I'm looking for what they don't have. And then I'm going to fill in the gaps. So where that leads me.
Like every appraiser is different too. So they jive with a certain type of person or platform, whatever. So there's plenty of appraisers out there that need help. So,
yeah. Oh my gosh, this is great. And we're not even drinking and it's well, I purposely brought a beer glass filled with water, but
I brought a coffee cup because I'm sick and was drinking coffee, but I haven't drank in a minute. So. What else is going on with your business? What's any challenges this week?
Oh gosh, what are we working on now? We're working on one now. We're working on all challenging ones. The one we're working on right now is it's an older house located in a really like niche area, like high money, hard to get into it. People with old money, and they rent the house out, and so they want to know like, okay, what's it worth as it is? What's it worth if we were to just put some updates? What's it worth if we were to completely renovate it? How much could we rent it for these three different scenarios? And what impact will these improvements have over a certain amount of time? And I was like,
holy crap.
Yes.
So is this consulting just like, or are you giving written reports?
Well, our reports are all narrative. We rarely do anything with a grid unless we're doing like a tax appeal, because that's what assessment people like. They like grids. But other than that, we do narrative.
Oh,
so
excellent.
We can put that all in one report. And, you know, and it's like we're writing a book.
Yeah. You built your own narrative template?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we kind of take different pieces. So we have total. And so we use a restricted report, but then we add on a lot of like I wrote our own certifications. We write our own addenda. Like, so we have a template that we sort of follow. Like, you know, we have this page is describing the subject. This page is sales comparison. This page is reconciliation. Like you can, it's very easy to build and it's much more understandable by the normal, regular, everyday person who doesn't need or have a computer to read your report with. Like we don't do checkboxes, like none of that stuff. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's something you can help your appraisers with on your platform is putting a template up there for them.
I've given them templates.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. 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 That's another cool thing. We all share like templates and sources that we use and it's cool.
Another benefit of having surrounding yourself with other appraisers.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
Yeah. It's cool.
All right. So I know we ran 40 minutes here, but is there anything else you want to talk about? If not, I'll close it out here if you like, or if you want to talk more about your community or anything else that's going on that's got your attention.
I don't have anything.
That's okay. We covered everything. That's exactly what I wanted to touch on is giving other appraisers inspiration to go out and talk to other appraisers in their market. You know, if they're not doing that, that could help you out tremendously, not only with just learning something new, but actually getting referrals from other appraisers. Mm-hmm. But you, even the certified generals, giving business to certified generals, I get tons of calls for certified residential stuff as a just residential appraiser. So if you're not knowing those cert gens in your market, you're like, if you're a residential person, you're not, and vice versa, mm-hmm. you could be getting a lot more referrals from your peers. And it's as easy as maybe having a conversation and getting to know them.
Not just the generals, like think outside of the box. What about personal property appraisers? What about, you know,
like. Yes. Yeah, so like once you grow the non-lender space, you need your own. You have a lot of people who are asking you for referrals. You have a lot of people in your network, even accountants and stuff like that. Everybody is a part of your network. And if you could help them refer out to even colleagues who don't do what you do or outside of your area, it's really powerful, and it makes you look good and gets you more business from that client.
Yeah. And it helps everybody because you know that you're referring somebody to, you know, they're in good hands and, you know.
Yeah. That's the biggest challenge with referrals is, are they going to handle your client like you handle your client? That is that's a big struggle. Yeah. So that always is a struggle. And I struggle with that too, you know, sending them out. How are they going to treat my client? Because sometimes it doesn't end well. Yeah. And you need to talk to that. Like, I referred one out to an appraiser and it didn't go well at all during the appointment. Mm-hmm. And I followed up with the agent. I'm like, okay, how'd it go with the appraiser who did the job? She's like, I didn't like what happened because X, Y, and Z. I'm like, oh my God, I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah.
But it's just almost trial and error sometimes
on
who has a similar work ethic as you or a similair approach to valuation as you do customer service too.
You're working on a big one right now, aren't you? Where it's like 80 appraisals or something.
Oh yeah. If I get that bid, it's a lot. It's
And you're referring that stuff.
Right? Yeah. Just referring most of it out. A lot of it's in my market in different counties. But referring it out, but that office, I've worked with that office for many years and I've been doing the reports. So they asked me for a bid and hopefully I get it because it's a big project.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. I love that kind of stuff. It makes you sweat and excited all at the same time.
Yep. And it may never come to fruition, but whatever. It's an opportunity that presented itself and I took it and tried to help the client out, and it is what it is. If it happens, it happens. If not, I'll be okay.
Do you do unusual stuff or is it, I don't know how much unusual stuff.
Yeah, so there's a lot of PUDs in our area, planned unit development. So a lot of appraisers, like I'm doing, like I did two now in the same planned unit development, which is maybe like 2 square miles. And there's only like 10 models of homes.
Yeah.
So some of those are easier. One was a cash purchase. The other one was for a divorce. It doesn't matter. They still need appraisals. But I do a lot of, I do some weird stuff, like some really high-end stuff on waterways and, you know, some properties that are combined together sometimes, but those are few and far between for the most part.
Okay.
But a lot of the most complex stuff I do is going back in time. Like I'm doing one now for an estate that's, I think 24 years, 2001. Yeah. They need it like 01 or 02, something like 2001 or 2002. So I do a lot of those, too, which is kind of complex going back in time and figuring out what the house looked like back then, what evidence that people can send you. I always ask for like photographs of like family photos, if they have the kitchen in the background or something like that, just so you can kind of justify your condition rating, what it looked like back then.
Yeah.
So that's the most complex stuff I do, I think, is the retrospective stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be tricky.
Yeah. But in our market, it's like, there's not, there's some custom homes, like the high end stuff, but there isn't those like berm homes or they're not really prevalent in my market.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But there are some challenging ones that come across my desk. But for the most part, it's not too different. It's basics. It's basic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I did. I gave Bev a heart attack that like one of the first properties I took her to was like a 14,000 square foot house. And it was built in 1776 and had a barn and a pool and it was awesome. And she was like, she was having a heart attack because the person who she was with before me was like a VA. So, you know, when you're with the VA, you're not really seeing this unusual stuff.
Sure. Right.
So she's what? And so now she walks through those properties with confidence. She's just like, yeah.
Yeah. It just, just need to put yourself out there and take that next assignment, which may be challenging, mm-hmm. and you can just figure it out. You know, all the approaches to it, just figure it out and mm-hmm. you're the expert in, you know, it's whatever you think. This is the reason why you approached it this way. Just explain that. That's mm-hmm. it. But you're the expert. And so if appraisers are fearful to take on challenging stuff, just I wouldn't. Just educate yourself. If you don't know what you're doing, educate yourself. But even if you know what you're doing, just take it on and see where it goes.
Figure it out. Ask for help. I call. I have no problem calling another appraiser asking their opinion.
Yeah, or even any of the forums, you can post questions on the forum if you mm-hmm. have any problems. So
yeah.
That's nice. Well, all right, Carol. So that's gonna do it. I'll close this out here. So thank you so much for sharing your story and the insights.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. And I really like the community you're building, and it's very important for appraisers to develop their own communities if you're not, or join any of the communities out there, join any of the coaching programs, whatever. Just do something to help grow your business, because lending work may be tough in the future. So mm-hmm. if you're not diversifying, you may not be in this industry or this profession, you know?
I agree.
All right. So thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.